Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I've been out for a week. We've had guest hosts. I appreciate them so very much. I've been with my son Zachary at a Boy Scout camp in the mountains in the Rockies, 40 miles west of Colorado Springs. What a great time we had. And so thank you to those of you who filled in for me during the week. Great programs. We've heard great feedback, and they're all online at kgov.com. So I'd like to catch up a bit. What has been happening? I had no access to the outside world. And so I did get a note when I came in that the crack researchers here at BEL have determined that Marion Barry intends to seek public office again. Now, he's a current city council member, but apparently he wants the Washington, D.C. mayor's job again. And he's had that, what, three terms already? No? More? Let's see. The story from the Associated Press that came with their note, this is what led our researchers to their conclusion that he wants the mayor's job again. Former D.C. mayor Marion Barry charged with stalking. The guys. No, oh, and by the way, this will be a Sarah Palin-free talk radio program today. So if you're sick of the topic, this is a Sarah Palin-free radio program. Former D.C. Mayor Barry charged with stalking. Police say former Washington Mayor Marion Barry has been arrested and charged with stalking a woman. I see their point. I get you guys are sharp, I got to say. You guys are sharp. He's positioning himself for a comeback, obviously. The United States Park Police said Marion Barry, a current D.C. council member, was arrested Saturday in Washington after a woman flagged down an officer and complained that Marion Barry was stalking her. The Barry was charged with misdemeanor stalking and released. They've got that catch-and-release program in D.C., Marion Barry served four terms as mayor. In his third term, he was videotaped in 1990 in a hotel room smoking crack cocaine with a prostitute in an FBI sting, and he served 6 months in prison, and then in 1994, he won the mayor's office again. So I figure stalking this, you guys are good. I think our research team, once again, is right on the mark. So he's obviously interested in getting the mayor's job again. So he's gone out to stalk a woman and to get arrested and to be charged. And so he's right on track, I'd say. I remember that year back in Thanksgiving at the home of the Sutherlands. They're leaders with Colorado Right to Life. I think that might have been back in 1994. Thanksgiving dinner at their home, I brought a Marion Barry pie in honor of that politician, the politician who keeps on giving. Yeah, have you ever heard of that Marion Barry pie? You never heard of that? Marion Barry. Yeah, I stopped off at a grocery store and got a Marion Barry pie for Thanksgiving. And so the Barry was charged with stalking and released. So he's obviously... Okay, so our researchers, they didn't just pull a joke on me. This is a true story. Marion Barry is planning a comeback as the mayor of the city. And, you know, that city, we just had the 4th of July and Independence Day. And out here at the BEL headquarters, I mean, we are smack dab in the middle of some of the country's best fireworks displays. They're fabulous. Last year, I was in D.C. on July 4th with some of the leaders of American Right to Life. We're at the Watergate. Remember the Watergate from Richard Nixon days? Well, it's still there. And we were on the roof, which gives you a great vantage point for the fireworks on the mall at the Capitol and the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. We're on the roof of the Watergate watching the fireworks display on July 4th, and it was so paltry, I couldn't believe it. I thought, come on, in Colorado, Commerce City could blow this away. In Arvada, Colorado, just fabulous fireworks display. So anyway, Marion Barry is planning a comeback as the mayor of the city with the paltry fireworks display. So these are some of the stories in the news while we were gone. Then there's a Colorado company offering banana coffins. Now I'm trying to figure out the average age of our staff here, the crew at Bob and Yurt Live. We don't have any, you know, the benefits companies offer. We don't offer any funeral benefits here at Bob and Yurt Live. Like my 11-year-old son Zachary says, I'm planning on living forever. So far, so good. So we don't have any funeral benefits here, but a Colorado coffin company, they're casket makers, they're catering to environmentalists, and they offer natural burials with biodegradable coffins made of banana peels and other similar materials. They make coffins out of recycled newspapers, out of cardboard. It's called E-Coffins. E-Coffins, USA, out of Montrose, Colorado. They sell caskets made of banana sheaves. And they say it takes 6 months to 2 years to biodegrade. Right. Right. Do you remember the archaeologist digging around in a New York City landfill? I remember the story. They were digging around a New York City landfill. This is about 15 years ago. And archaeologists, they like to look into the past and to see what they can learn about humanity. And so they thought, well, usually we look hundreds or thousands of years ago, but let's look in some New York City landfills. So they're digging around and they find newspapers with the leftovers from the dinner of an average family in the Bronx. And they unwrap the newspapers and they find everything they had for dinner, including, for example, like, you know, pork chops, mashed potatoes, corn niblets. And they said the corn niblets are like, it's like they were thrown out last night. They're just there, corn niblets. And the archaeologists were laughing because the environmentalists buying biodegradable plastic trash bags. And you know how they make them biodegradable instead of being just plastic, petroleum product? They take cornstarch molecules and they include them in the manufacturing process so that the microorganisms will eat the cornstarch molecules that are in the plastic of the plastic bags. And the archaeologists were cracking up. They said, if these microorganisms don't want to eat the corn niblets, why are they going to eat the plastic bags? So anyway, I guess there is some chance that these banana peel caskets will biodegrade more quickly than, say, a solid steel casket. I'd say that's probably true. Or a wooden casket. But let's see here now. A little more news. This story is worth absorbing. Marketing director Joanna Passarelli says the company sold $40,000 worth of banana sheaf or bamboo coffins to funeral homes in 2008, and at least 14 funeral homes around the country offer them. Some people think it's a great idea, and we've had funeral directors look at them and say, I guess you can go to hell in a handbasket now. That's especially relevant to the BEL audience, because for years on the TV show, which is now back on the air in Denver, Channel 53, weekends at midnight, we're back on the air weekends, Friday and Saturday nights at midnight to 1 a.m. with the classic Bob and Yurt Live TV shows. And we'd have a handbasket on the set for any number of shows. And we had a map of the United States, a wooden map, where each state is a carved piece of wood to the right shape. And whenever there was a particularly absurd or wicked story out of a state, we would take out the map and grab that state off of the map and throw it in a basket. And then as I put the basket back on the bookshelf behind me, I turn it so just for a split second the audience could see the sign on the back of the basket, which was never displayed, and the sign said, "To hell." So the states were going to hell in a handbasket, and so people would tune in, and sometimes we wouldn't use that basket for 3-4 weeks at a time, but people would see it there on the bookcase, and they knew that on the other side of the basket, it said "To hell," and they just got such a kick out of it. It was funny. So the funeral director said, "I guess you can go to hell in a handbasket now." That's pretty blunt from a funeral director, huh? Have you seen a track, a Christian track, and it says, "All ways lead to God. All ways lead to God." It's just that you will see him as your judge or as your savior. But all ways lead toward God, and that's true. All ways lead toward God, but you will see him as your judge or as your savior. So if you choose a way that is in rebellion against your creator God, then you will see him. Your way will lead to God, but as your judge. I know, have you ever flown a lot in your career? I'm asking Pops, Al Sharon, office manager here at Bob in Your Life. I used to hear that you had to pass through Atlanta on your way to hell. And I don't know if that's still true, but it used to be true. Okay, so then in the global warming file, again, I'm just back in the studio. It's July 6th. And so just the news that accumulated in our inbox here, June, according to the National Weather Service, New York City, June was the coolest June in New York City since before I was born, for over half a century. National Weather Service, due to the unusually cool conditions in June, for some perspective, this was the coolest June since 1958. Man, those global, you got to have a lot of faith to believe in global warming, man-made or not. It has been steady or cooling since what, 2001? Then we have Venezuela, Hugo down there, Hugo. Venezuela assumes control of a Spanish-owned bank, and they didn't just steal it this time. They actually bought it, which is unusual for Venezuela. Hugo Chavez, but President Hugo, his socialist government assumed control of Venezuela's third largest bank on Friday, making the government there the largest player in the nation's banking system. And so, you know what's going on? It's difficult trying to stay ahead of the United States, People try to compete with the United States. That's hard to do. And so we have our own Republican-launched socialism and nationalization of our banks. And so Hugo, he's not going to be outdone by George W. Bush and now Bush's heir, Barack Obama. So he has to keep pushing ahead. So they now control a third of their banking system in Venezuela. What else has been in the news that we've missed here at Bob in Your Life? Oh, yeah, the Washington Post publisher. This is a crack up. The use of money to buy votes in Washington, D.C., and you have lobbyists who find ways, like with Colorado's Republican Bob Schaefer. You've got dirty money going to him to go out to the Marianas Islands, where there are accusations of forced abortions on Chinese women working. They're Chinese citizens working in American factories on the Marianas Islands, and these women have said that if they become pregnant, that they don't go back to China pregnant. China wouldn't allow that. So the factory managers, they force them to get abortions. And so Bob Schaefer gets money from, what's that corrupt Traditional Values Coalition, Lou Sheldon, that crew? Anyway, he goes out there with his wife, and there's a photograph of him parasailing. And he actually said to the media, the whole time I was in the Marianas Islands, I never saw a single forced abortion. I mean, this is the competence of this guy. And so you've got dirty money buying votes in Washington, D.C. And so the media there, for the most part, especially when it happens with Democrats, the media, they're enablers, but it's hard for them to get a direct cut. I mean, they want a direct cut. The lobbyists got money. The politicians want the money. The media enables it. They hush it up if it's Democrats. Here on Bob and Yurt Live, we prefer to expose it when it's pro-life Republicans who are hypocrites and actually support killing unborn children. So the media is, they're ticked off that they don't get a direct cut. So the Washington Post figured that they were going to cure that problem. And the publisher on Sunday, yesterday, apologized to readers in an editorial for, well, they had a plan to cash in on this influence peddling, this money for votes. And he apologized for the plan. There were actually flyers produced, and some of the flyers got into the public, and it made the Washington Post look really bad. And here's what it is. They planned a dozen dinners at the homes of Washington Post's muckety-mucks, and the dinners would cost, you had to pay $25,000 or $50,000, and then you could organize a dinner with Barack Obama administration officials and with Washington Post journalists and with lobbyists. So that's not bad, right? 50 grand to help buy a vote from your favorite congressman or senator. And so anyway, but the money would go to the Washington Post. So that's, I mean, it's a creative, no? Creative way for the media. They figure, hey, we've been the middleman all along. We've been the enablers. We've been covering up. We want a cut. We want a direct. These are rough times for newspapers. We want a direct cut. And so the Washington Post publisher apologized yesterday to their readers for this plan to charge business leaders for intimate dinner discussions with Obama government officials and the newspaper's journalist. So this is, you know, hysterical, of course. And they basically came out of the closet as a middleman in the votes for cash scheme. And according to the Associated Press, here's the story, a flyer surfaced last week promoting a plan to charge $25,000 to $50,000 to sponsor one of a series of 12 dinner parties that would include conversations with Washington Post journalists and access to Washington insiders, including Obama administration officials. Well, the series was canceled this week, and the publisher, Catherine Weymouth, she said in this editorial that appeared in the newspaper's op-ed section, I want to apologize. Now, listen to this. This is funny. I want to apologize for a planned new venture that went off track and for any cause we may have given to doubt our independence and integrity. Weymouth said, this is according to the Associated Press, their reading of her editorial, Weymouth said the flyer was not approved by her or by the paper's editors, and that it didn't accurately describe the plan for the small gatherings. Now that cracks me up, because this flyer advertised a, quote, Washington Post gathering on healthcare reform at Weymouth's home on July 21st. So the first meeting was at the publisher's home, at her home. And she says, I didn't approve this. Not only did I not approve this, none of the editors at the Post approved this. The flyer said the gathering would include 20 or fewer guests, including Obama administration officials, members of Congress, and lobbyists. According to the flyer, such gatherings would be sponsored by $25,000 to $50,000 by one or two sponsors who would underwrite the event, and they would have the opportunity to invite certain guests. So yeah, the publisher says, I didn't know anything about this flyer. I mean, I didn't know. Obviously, someone planned this at my home without my permission. Yeah, right. Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Some first-year typesetter at the Post? They don't even have typesetters anymore, do they? Who wrote this? A copy editor? It can't be a copy editor because she said none of the paper's editors approved the flyer. Who wrote it? The receptionist? So we need to figure that one out and expect the firing of the receptionist at the Washington Post. Pending, developing story. All right, so some of the news, pretty fascinating, and some of it very tragic, of course. We have the media still with the line, Obama saved and created, Jesus didn't. Right? They say Obama saved and created, 50,000 jobs so far? But Jesus didn't save or create, just Obama. And that absurd formulation, it's voodoo to estimate, to claim we saved 30,000 jobs, 300,000 jobs. We saved 350,000 jobs so far. We saved or created 350,000. I mean, it's just a joke. And speaking of a joke, Vice President Joe Biden said, well, we misread how bad the economy was. I'm sure that's true. Vice President Joe Biden said the Obama administration misread how bad the economy was, but they stand by their stimulus package, which the media has now reported has saved or created tens of thousands of jobs. So the media, I leave for a week camping in the mountains, see all these young kids growing up to become men, and the media is out there still claiming that Obama saved and created, but Jesus did not. So that's where we're at. By the way, Monday night at the camp, it was the 2009 storm at Camp Alexander. What a storm it was. We had 40 of us, including 34 scouts, out of a few hundred people camp-wide, Boy Scout Camp of America, fabulous, Boy Scouts of America camp. And Monday night, we get there Sunday, Monday night, as it's getting dark, what a storm. Torrential downpour mixed with hail. It's cold, it's windy, lightning and thunderclaps at the same time. Some of the people saw lightning hit trees just on the edge of our campground. Others saw lightning hit rocks on the other side of the campground. And for an hour, it was a torrential downpour. And we used those old-fashioned, tried-and-true tents. Made of canvas? And the walls are separate pieces of fabric from the roof. Well, the water came down so fast and so hard that it formed pools on the roof of the tents, and the weight of the water broke through, and the tents got drenched. And we were on the base of a mountain, literally, and the water, that much rain came down, rivulets came down like a flood through the camp. And we had to get dry sleeping bags for 13 of our kids, and we were putting up new tents, dry tents, till about 11 o'clock at night, and we moved a lot of the kids into dry tents. But so there were kids survived it. You know, and some of the kids are young. The ages probably from, 10 through 10 or 11 through 14, 15. And some of the younger kids were especially scared, and you can't blame them. But these kids are becoming men, and we have the media and the politicians and all the absurdity and the immaturity and the immorality of our political process and America's culture. And Michael Jackson surrounded himself with sycophants for all those years and should have been one of the most successful people in the history of the world, turned out to be one of the most miserable. And what is it, tomorrow they have his memorial? Maybe we should do a Bob and Yurt Live memorial for Michael Jackson on the air tomorrow. A simulcast. It's going to be on NBC, right? And what, CNN and MSNBC, and will be on CBS? So all these networks are going to cover it live, and so maybe we should simulcast. We'll do our own Bob and Yurt Live memorial, I think, tomorrow for Michael Jackson. And it will be it'll be different than the memorial in Los Angeles, I think. It'll probably be a bit different, unless they're going to be truthful. Sometimes, you know, I went to the funeral of one of the founders of Personhood USA, his dad, Keith Mason's dad. Keith Mason Sr. died recently. And what a powerful funeral that was when Keith eulogized his dad. And you want to talk about truthful and significant and powerful and life-changing. Do you think we'll get some of that in Los Angeles tomorrow at Michael Jackson's memorial? I sort of doubt it, but we'll see. And there's a lot more news to cover, which we'll want to do. Our website is kgov.com. We have a fabulous store online with Bob and Yurt Live videos and Bible study albums going through the books of the Bible, fascinating topics from the end times to living the Christian life to predestination and free will to just dozens of fabulous topics and books of the Bible. I think you'll love it. If you've never studied with us, we also have a manuscript called The Plot. It's my life's work. It's an overview of the whole Bible, 320 pages. And I think you'll love it only because we have a money-back guarantee. Money back if not satisfied. And for all these years, we've been satisfied with the money every time, every sale. No, I'm only kidding. If you're not satisfied, money back guarantee. And I don't know too many publishers that do that with their books or their Bible study albums, but we always have here at Bob and Yurt Live. You can call us at 800-8-NYURT. That's 1-800-836-9278. We need your support to continue on the air. 1-800-836-9278. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. And hey, check out Colorado Right to Life.